when I heard that I was going to meet Chazzy, my son's new stepmom, I was really excited for that opportunity. But Chazzy was my hardest relationship. And I really wanted to figure this out. I'm like, I want to have a relationship with her and I want to be genuine. And I just remember just being so distraught and just pleading and praying to God to please help me find a path to healing and to better my life.
Hey, welcome. This is Family Life Blended, and I'm Ron Deal. This donor-supported podcast helps blended families and those who love them pursue the relationships that matter most. And sometimes we tell stories. Sometimes we tell stories that are, well, a little miracle. And today is one of those days. This is episode 80, From Toxic Competitors to Business Partners, a bio mom and a stepmom turnaround story. Now, if your between household relationships are strained or tough, stay tuned for a little hope.
Hey, my name's Jennifer. I'm from Searcy, Arkansas, and I listen to the podcast via iHeartRadio. Christian man that didn't have any children, and we started our marriage with a weekend to remember. And this helped us a lot. It taught us how to resolve conflict and a bunch of the other things that they cover was really helpful to us. But really what had the most profound impact on our family was attending our first ever blended session. We actually went to a session on a Live Like You Mean It cruise. And I had been struggling with so much shame and guilt that I was not serving God anymore. I felt unworthy. That session changed things for us. We learned lots of stuff about how to deal with, you know, family, a blended family. But I learned more about learning that it was okay to grieve the loss of my previous marriage, and that it didn't make my husband mean that I loved my husband any less. So your ministry is restoring family. I just want you to know that you are making a difference. And from the bottom of my heart, I thank you, and what you're doing matters so much.
Well, thanks, Jennifer, for those encouraging words. We appreciate it very much. And I know your experience of finding hope for your family when you finally accessed material that was designed specifically for stepfamilies. I know that's why you and thousands of others are listening to this podcast and accessing our books and online courses and video series and live and virtual events offered by Family Life Blended. Now, if you're listening and you're new to Family Life Blended, make sure you subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss out on anything. And make sure you check out everything we have to offer for your marriage and family. Just go to familylife.com/blended. And by the way, Jennifer called our comment and question line to leave that message. If you've got a topic you want us to cover, a question you want to ask, or a comment you want to share, the show notes will tell you how you can call us. Or if you'd prefer, you can send us an email. We'd really love to hear from you. Well, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and 30 years of blended family experience tells me that there's a mom and a stepmom out there who both want to feel significant on that day. And it feels like one of them has to lose. Well, maybe not. As you'll hear, Charlene Roberts and Chazzy Carr were, in their words, a toxic, competitive mess. A mom and stepmom combination that just wasn't working well. Now notice, I said they were. You see, they found their way through. And today, they're in business together. How did they get there? Well, that's the not-so-little miracle story we're telling today on Family Life Blended. Charlene Roberts is a relationship advocate who believes in the power of healing and repairing interpersonal relationships. She and her husband, Steve, have a blended family with 5 children. A few years ago, they began connecting with blended family experts and ministries to build an online education platform called the Step Family Network. I'm just one of the many featured contributors to their site, stepfamilynetwork.com. I highly recommend that you check it out. Chazzy Carr is in the business of helping people feel and look good from the inside out, she says. She's a marketing partner with a company that works to put healthier beauty and wellness products in the hands of people. She also uses her education degree to support struggling students, and she works as a reading specialist doing that. She's a mom and a stepmom of three. Here's my conversation with Charlene and Jasmine. Charlene, Chazzy, thanks for being with me today.
Glad to be here.
So, Charlene, on National Step Family Day, which is September 16th every day, you posted something that I saw on Facebook, and boy, did it catch my attention. And I said to myself, oh, I got to hear the backstory to that. And that's why you're here today. Here's what you guys posted. You said, Chazzy Carr is my oldest son's stepmom. We've been together in co-parenting for 15 years. We had what I would say is the typical stepmom, biological mom relationship. I will not sugarcoat the fact that our relationship was toxic, competitive, and we found it near impossible to come together. We were one another's source of a lot of emotional pain. Wow, you got my attention that far. And then you went on and you said, but through God's amazing grace, we found a way of healing our past and forging a new path forward. We share a heart in forgiveness. We have built a friendship. We even run a beauty, health, and wellness business together, helping other women look and feel confident. Okay, we're going to get to that because some woman right now wants to know what that is all about. But we got to hear this backstory about, man, how do you go from a difficult bio mom, stepmom relationship to something that is described like that, where you can actually work together? This is a story people want to hear. Would each of you just give me a quick sketch of your household, your family, your life? Charlene, why don't you go first?
Oh, boy. Okay. So, and I'm not sure how in-depth to go, Ron, but Chazzy and I met each other, I think it was actually right after she and Scott got married. That's that was my first husband. And I had just been remarried to my husband, Steve, and I have two stepdaughters and my son, Chandler. And I really, for me, I really embraced the whole idea of being able to be a stepmom or bonus mom. And I, when I heard that I was going to meet Chazzy, my son's new stepmom, I was really excited for that opportunity. And it didn't go as I had planned. I was, I just have this Mediterranean family culture where I was going in expecting to get this big hug and this warmth of welcome. And, you know, Chazzy put up her boundaries with me and she let me know right off the bat that she was not comfortable with me in her space. And I was devastated. I was definitely devastated in that regard.
Okay. I want to hear more about that in a minute. So you are married to Steve currently, you have two stepchildren by that relationship.
Yes.
But Chandler is your son by your first marriage.
Yes.
And Chazzy is now Chandler's stepmom.
Yes.
Chazzy, can you just give us a quick snapshot of your household? Who's involved? How many kids you guys got?
Well, when I married Scott, I didn't have any children. I hadn't been married before. I'd never dated anyone who was divorced or had children. With my background in education, I loved children. I felt like I could develop relationships fairly quickly with children. And so it didn't make me shy away to think about becoming a stepmom. I had no experience or connections to anyone else who'd been in that position. I just felt like it was the right thing for me to do. I felt impressed to marry Scott, and I was confident that I could serve as a mother in some way to Chandler at the time. That's how that started.
Okay. And so kind of leads us back to what Charlene just led us into, is this whole notion of, wow, when you guys first met, it didn't go well. And, you know, it makes me think of the old adage, every marriage is a two-story house, his story and her story. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, there's the bio mom story and there's the stepmom story. And I want to get them both because sometimes they're different and sometimes they're sort of similar. So Chazzy, why don't you just jump? We'll come back to Charlene in a minute. But Chazzy, so what was that first meeting like for you?
Well, I think we actually did meet before I married Scott. just briefly. Mm-hmm. We didn't spend time together. Mm-hmm. We'd gone to pick, I remember it distinctly, actually. We'd gone to pick Chandler up from Charlene's house, and we had met briefly then. But of course, I had just the information from Scott about how their marriage had been, what kind of relationship it was. And I made my own observations. It felt chaotic to me, the way that they were managing the kids' schedules and things like that. So I was making my own judgments based on what I was observing, mm-hmm. and then just was prideful about, well, I know better because I have a background in education. Mm-hmm. I know what kids need and they're doing it wrong. So I had a lot of that judgment even before meeting Charlene, and it didn't serve me in building a relationship with her immediately, but I just didn't trust that we would come from the same perspective and would have the same goal, I guess, because they were doing things mm-hmm. so different as far as how I thought it should be. So I think that just kind of started, and I am a pretty boundaried person in general. I'm not a big hugger. And so coming into a situation where there was like this familiarity really fast didn't make me feel comfortable. And that was just my temperament to start off with. So it was just kind of a lot of different factors all at once. And so that may be why I was a little more distanced at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't quite sure what I was stepping into. I only had some information that may not have been valid information. So that's kind of, I think, was a rocky start just from the beginning from those things.
I'm hearing a couple of really big things. Just from a personality standpoint, you're not a natural hugger, affectionate sort of thing. Plus, new people. Yeah, that's an awkward space for you. It's what it sounds like. And then you had two impressions as the incoming stepmom. You know, one was, I have a little bit of information, and based on that, I kind of have some judgments of who Charlene mm-hmm. is. And then the other side of you was, I want to help. It sounds like you were like, hey, I have something to offer here. I can help out this young man and his dad, and I'm going to bring some good into this scenario. And it might mean some things have to change or something, but it sounds like that was sort of your heart in the beginning in your journey as a stepmom.
For sure. He was 5 and so young, and I felt like there was something I could help bring to it.
Yeah. And the reason I point that out is, you know, I just love your commentary on that. I don't know if you've talked with other stepmoms or not, but I think that's a common experience that stepmoms have. They have goodwill. They come in and they're, you know, they're going to try to help. They're going to contribute something good to this child, to the family, to the scenario, whatever it might be. And sometimes that eagerness is a bit of a setup in terms of then how the adults meet one another and try to deal with each other. I'll open that to either one of you. Can either one of you relate to that if you talked with other stepmoms?
Oh, absolutely. I talk with stepmoms quite a bit, Ron. And I think, you know, when Chaz and I were talking about the podcast and what we wanted to discuss, I thought, you know, it's really important to be open and honest about our situation and our, you know, our journey over the last several years. Because I think it's more common than not that stepmom and bio moms really have kind of this clashing dynamic. And so, yeah, I can definitely attest to that. I'm a biological mom and I'm also a stepmom to my husband's daughters. So I definitely know both sides. And as Chazzy was telling me some of her insights, I kind of laughed a little inside because I thought, my goodness, we're really not that different. We've actually been through a lot of the same emotions and the same frustrations. And so
it does depend on which side of the fence you stand, though, right? If you're the bio mom, that's the side of the fence that you're on, and this is my kid, and you know, don't push me out of my throne as the biological mother. And then as a stepmother, you're on the other side, and you've got goodwill, and you're trying to come in, you're trying to please your new husband. All of that sort of is rolling forward, and you can see how you would end up on opposite sides pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Charlene, back to your side of this, that first meeting or maybe the first few meetings, what thoughts did you have? What was your posture coming in meeting Chazzy?
You know, I would, if I'm being completely honest, so I'm a people pleaser and I had never really had an experience in my life up until the point where I met Chazzy, where I felt really rejected by Chazzy. Like I felt like I wasn't given a chance. And I don't know why I took it so personally, but I had the side of me that I really wanted her to get to know me and I really wanted her to like me. That's the people pleaser side of me, or was. But just being completely honest, like I felt like I didn't have a fair chance to really, like I felt like I wasn't given a chance to prove like who I am. And I thought if she ever got the chance to know me, she might actually like me. And so I felt rejection, Ron. That's what I felt in the beginning, just that I had never really experienced it on that level with another person. And so for to come in and just have this utter, you know, like, I don't accept you kind of emotion, it was hard. I really struggled with that.
Okay, so personally, the way you're wired, that means a lot to you to win the approval of other people. By the way, I can relate to that. There's a big part of me that walks around day in and day out with that same feeling. What did that do in terms of your fear as it related to Chandler and parenting and, you know, parenting between households and your ex-husband and Chazzy? Where'd that go?
That had a definite trickle-down effect. I think it created a space where I felt she didn't trust me, and then it created this where I didn't trust her, her intentions. And so it did. It had a definite trickle-down effect. My son Chandler definitely felt that between the two of us.
Now, he felt that.
Oh, yes.
In what way did he feel that?
I think there was obviously a sense of competitiveness. Like I very much felt like I'm the mom and I wanted to respect Chazzy's role. Again, I was a stepmom. And so I very much was coming at a perspective that I wanted her to treat me. You know, we have this expectation of how we want to be treated. And when we aren't being treated that way, we become upset. And I think when we're stuffing those emotions or hiding those emotions, we're not really good at hiding those. Like those do come through in our family relationships and especially to our children.
Okay, so Charlene says Chandler picked up on it and she began to feel she didn't trust you, Chazzy, and there was a competition that began to grow between the two of you. What about that part? Did you notice that on behalf of Chandler? Could you see things in him where he was seemed to be aware of what was going on between the two moms in his world?
He was definitely impacted, but there were... I want to say there were lots of other things happening that were impacting him rather than just our relationship. I mean, there was some instability happening with schedules and moving and some other things like going between other family members. There was a lot of shifts happening for a long time. When I entered the picture, I mean, Charlene and Steve had moved a couple of different times and he'd gone to different schools, and sometimes with the schedules that he was with other family and he wasn't quite sure where he was going to be. So there were a lot of other shifts happening. And I think divorce is hardest on kids, I feel like. And because it does create so much instability in lots of ways. But I wanted to say, I didn't trust Charlene, not because I didn't want to. And I didn't feel like I had rejected her as a person. I just didn't know her. And I wasn't really that interested in knowing her as a person. Not because I didn't see she brought value to Chandler's life. Like, I knew she was his biological mother and that there were good things that she brought to him and just for being her. But there was a time early on where I felt manipulated, where if I didn't respond the way she wanted me to, then it was going to create friction. And I was very independent. I was 32 when I got married. I owned my own home. I had a career. I had like just created a life for myself and then had opened myself up to have this family. And I never really wanted to take the place of Charlene ever. But at the same time, I really saw some things that were impacting him negatively that were lacking. And it wasn't because I was the only one that could fix it. I didn't want to fix anyone specifically, but it just felt like there were some pieces that just weren't quite working for him. And it felt like I was inspired. I've said this to Charlene before. Out of my three children, I've gotten direct inspiration with how to parent Chandler the most clearly. I just felt like I was following those impressions and I was trying to do these things really for his good. And I talked with my husband about parenting and things like that. But honestly, he had some things that were lacking in being a stable parent. And I just felt like that was my role, was to be the stable parent. And I wasn't focused at all on developing a relationship with Charlene or Steven. I really just was focusing on what can I do to support him so that he feels safe and secure and loved. And I knew he was getting these things too from Charlene and Steven, but it just felt like it was kind of one of my roles in marrying Scott was providing this for Chandler. And it was just hard because I didn't ever get past feeling like there was some manipulation. And I don't know if it's because Charlene had felt threatened because it seemed like I was trying to take things over because I did stir some things up and I didn't do it with the intention of ever causing harm or hurt ever. Like that was never my focus, but because I was in there kind of like
taking initiative and
yeah, I wasn't meaning to cause more pain. I really felt like something was missing for him and no one else was saying that this was missing or addressing that. And so I was going to do it. And so it just felt like, okay, this is going to be hard, Chazzy, but this is why you're here, is you do hard things for your kids. And he was mine. And so, of course, I was going to do that, even though it caused a lot of friction in my marriage and with Charlene. I didn't have much of an interaction with Steven. I mean, it was mostly Charlene and me.
So it sounds like you felt a great sense of assignment from God. I mean, you were taking this role seriously and you wanted to step in and make a difference, do something to help this child. And so you set about doing that and it come what may, hey, if that creates some difficulty, too bad, because he needs this from me and I'm able to provide it and I'm willing to provide it. Is that sort of how you went about your approach?
Exactly.
I'm just curious. This is sort of fast forwarding to the end, I know. But looking back now, if you could talk to that part of yourself that sort of aggressively set in with that agenda, what would you say?
I think I would tell myself, first off, there's two sides to every story. And just because of things that my husband had said didn't necessarily make them true or accurate, and that it would have been worth the time to invest in a relationship with Charlene and try and build something that was workable. By the time I got to that point, there had just been so much pain and damage with one another. It felt like I had no idea how to approach it, but that would be one thing that I would tell myself is take the time to just talk, not necessarily to make decisions, but just to build something where you can work together. And the second thing is just slow down. Like, yes, there's some things that need to be rushed, but not as many things as you would really suspect.
Yeah, that does sound like really good advice that only a little life experience can help you to see in that. Wow. So Charlene, you're on the other side and you're feeling her pushing that agenda and you're trying to influence. Sounds like she sort of felt like that was manipulative, I think was the word that she used. And so, wait a minute, this is my space. You stay in your space. That didn't sit well for you.
It did not. So I grew up with a family of six. I'm the oldest of a total of six kids. And when Steve and I got married, I had one child and then all of a sudden, it was this instant family with his two daughters. And then actually at the time, my sister, my 14-year-old sister came to live with us. So we really were in this adjustment period. And it was a little chaotic for sure. My life always, like, it definitely seemed a little chaotic trying to, you know, juggle being a new stepmom. And then also in the case, trying to help my sister. And I think, you know, my first reaction to Chazzy was, like, for me, like, it initially may have felt very, like, abrasive, but I also think, you know, I very much believe in grace. And genuinely, I wanted to have a relationship with her. I was a product of divorce, and I really, like, my parents went through some hard things in their divorce and when it came to custody. And so I really wanted to do things different. And I wanted to, I think that's why I was hurt, that I feel like there wasn't a chance. And as things progressed, you know, more and more, I felt threatened in my role as a mother. And I, you know, we went through a lot of court cases and mediations over custody. And in my heart of hearts, like that, like, I feel like the adversary always hits us hardest where we are most vulnerable. And I think for me, my motherhood was really everything. And so to almost feel this disapproval with Chazzy was just like, it just wrenched my heart. But on the other spectrum, I understand what Chazzy's saying. You know, the girls, the bio mom that I work with, my stepdaughters, their mothers, she had this saying between us. And we had our little differences too, but I love that she said that. She said, "Charlene, between the two of us, we are the perfect mom." And there was this recognition that I have my, you know, my shortcomings and you have your shortcomings, but I have my strengths and you have your strengths. And if we put them together, like, we can be this great, you know, mom figure for our kids. And so with Chazzy, as much as I really wanted that, and I'm not saying everything was perfect with, you know, with my stepdaughter's mother, we definitely had our differences too, but I liked that approach that she was willing to give it a chance.
You wanted to orchestrate that with Chazzy and
I
you
did.
Couldn't. And so there was a barrier there. And I would imagine, I don't know what else happened. It sounds like court and, you know, trying to figure out parenting situations that widened the gap both of you guys.
Oh, yes. It was like when we went to court, it was like preparing for battle. It was awful. It would just wrench my stomach. I've never been through emotions like that. It was really hard. It really was this, like, here's a person you want to get along with, person you loved at one point, and you're going to court with them. And the ugly just comes out when you're going to court for custody. You start building some ugly cases and some ugly things against each other. And that was the toxic part of it. That was the ugly.
You know, to me, one of the unfortunate consequences of that type of activity between homes, whether it's between former spouses or, in this case, the new step-parent and the biological parent, is, you know, the more you battle, the more you judge the other side, the more you feel threatened. And as pain grows, then you kind of buckle down and you're sort of like digging in your heels. And now it's not about collaboration anymore. It's about winning. And it seems like you're forced into that because you might imagine the other side's trying to win. Well, we have to win, because if we don't try to win, then they're going to win. That's not going to be great. So we don't want that. Just brings more pain and heartache. And so it just widens the chasm between you. Chazzy, I'm curious, what was your experience as a result of those going to court? You know, how did that impact you?
It was miserable. I mean, I can hardly think back to that time because it was hard for lots of different reasons. I mean, I did step into a role of parent of Chandler immediately, and there were things that I was excluded from because I wasn't his biological parent. And I wasn't, even though I was his main caretaker, and I feel like I was more involved as his parent than his dad was, I wasn't included in all of the decisions. And it was really... It really just got to my heart because all of it was just so challenging. I mean, I started documenting things and I had pages and pages and pages of things that I just felt like this is not okay. And just that itself just reinforced my opinion about Charlene and Steven and the way they were managing things, which didn't help to build a working relationship at all. But it felt like, you're right, it was preparation for battle. And I was willing to do that just because I felt so strongly about things needing to be different for Chandler's benefit. It was hard. Things came out. Charlene said some things about me that were really hard for me to hear about being a surrogate parent and things like that, that really made me question if I had made the right decisions to advocate for some of the things I advocated about. And it just made me question. I mean, my husband would get really upset with me for being so determined to make some things different. I felt like one of the reasons that we went back to court was so that he would have equal time with his dad and have a more regular relationship with his dad. Like that, it wasn't so that he would be with me more. Like the point of it was to allow him more time to have a regular family life with his dad's family as well as his mom's family. And that was the motivator behind that. But it got lost in the mix. I think that whole reasoning was lost because of pain and hurt. And it was really hard to see the other side of things. But it was really difficult. And it didn't happen just once. It happened, I don't know how many times we went to mediation, 2 or 3 times. And more than that.
I think there was court and mediation. We probably over a half a dozen times. Yeah.
Wow. I don't even know. It just felt like it was, I mean, it wasn't good for him. It wasn't good for us. And it's not that, I don't know. I think all of us were trying to do what we thought was best for Chandler. And we just weren't able to come together of the same idea.
You know, as you're talking, I'm sitting here processing on behalf of the step parents who are listening to us right now. It's such a bind when you care and you want to contribute and you're trying to help. And the bigger picture family dynamic pushes you to the margins. You know, I'm hearing in your story how you said things got lost in the mix. You sort of got lost in the mix. Like your role, your place, who you are, no, that gets pushed to the side because we have this court thing we got to deal with because your agenda doesn't fit bioparent dad's agenda or bioparent mom's in the other household's agenda. And so you continue to be marginalized. And I just want to acknowledge for our listeners, that is a really, really frustrating place to be, to care so much and yet feel so powerless. Laura Petherbridge in the book that she and I wrote, The Smart Stepmom, one of the things we talk about is that and how you have to try to balance it with what influence can you bring and when do you just need to step back and sort of embrace what is. It's such a hard balancing act and it is a frustrating place to be. And at the same time, the bigger picture is because of all this conflict, the gap between you and Charlene is getting bigger and bigger and the hard feelings, more and more water under the bridge. So let me ask you both this question. When and how in your heart did things begin to make a turn for the better? What was it that led to a shift or a posture change or a dynamic change or whatever it was? What was it? When did it happen and how did that take place? And it could have been very different for each of you. I don't know.
For me and in my perception, how I saw the path forward in getting through to the other side was just always genuinely wanting to have the sweetness of forgiveness. Like I really wanted to have a relationship with Chazzy and with my son's dad. And I think sometimes we do that because it makes us feel good. And so I want to make sure, like I've actually been through a long process over the last few years and learning about codependency and, you know, carrying the emotions of others. And I kind of have this addiction where I'm like, I want to make sure other people feel good or other, you know, it's just kind of this, but for me in moving through forgiveness with, especially with Chazzy, because I will honestly say Chazzy was my hardest relationship. And I really wanted to figure this out. I'm like, I want to have a relationship with her and I want it to be genuine. And it kind of came unexpectedly, but I know for me, Chandler got married about a year ago. And prior to that, I had been through my own recovery program and just trying to heal some of the traumas in my past, because I think sometimes what we don't understand is that we carry traumas from our childhood that come into our marriages. They come, you know, how we raise our children, how we contend with and deal with our interpersonal relationships. And And there was a lot of self-realization when I decided, you know, really, I surrendered. I was living in such a broken place, and it wasn't just with Chazzy. I looked at a couple of my relationships. You know, my marriage with Steve was struggling. My relationship with my stepdaughters was struggling. And I was just, all my relationships to kind of seem to be having this conflict and this struggle. And I just remember just being so distraught and just pleading and praying to God to please help me find a path to healing and to better my life. And it's a long and personal story, but really it was in the surrender and deciding I didn't want to live like this anymore. I was so miserable. Mm-hmm. Like, on the outside, I looked like this joyful, happy person, but inside I was just in so much pain because I felt like my relationships were, like, I had been self-sabotaging myself and I was self-sabotaging my relationships around me. And I needed to take accountability for that. And that was really hard to look in the mirror and understand that maybe the problem wasn't Chazzy. Maybe it wasn't Scott. Maybe it wasn't my husband or my children or my stepkids. It was me. And so when I got intentional and I actually went into a program called Celebrate Recovery, and I kept thinking, I was in complete denial. I thought, I don't belong here. This isn't for me. But I had read a couple books. I had read this book over and over called Codependent No More. And in the book, it talks about going to a recovery program. And I thought, I'm not an addict. I was in complete denial. Well, I went and I spent a year in recovery, and it was the best thing I ever did for myself, because you start doing inventory of your relationships and where the damage was. And really it starts back in your childhood. And there were a lot of self-realizations and a lot of being able to forgive ourselves is first and foremost the hardest thing.
You connect those dots from your family of origin and previous relationships, and you can see how it brings you to who you are today.
Yeah. And you know, there was so much that I was unaware of, and so much that had shaped me into this, to where I was in this space. And really, you know, I always thought forgiveness came easy. I thought it's easy to forgive people, but I didn't know what true forgiveness was until I experienced that with Chazzy and with Scott. And when that came forward, and it wasn't that long ago, it was probably what, Chazzy, about 2 years ago that Scott and I had apologies. And when Scott reached out to me to apologize, he said, you know, I'm going through recovery. He's like, I'm in this program where I'm learning about recovery. And I just about lost it, because I thought, so am I. And he was asking for forgiveness. And I said, Scott, you're already forgiven. Like, I forgave you a long time ago, but it felt nice to have that. And he also conveyed to me that Chazzy was supporting him in that. And that meant so much to me to hear that she was supporting him in the two of us being able to move forward in forgiveness. Wow. And for Chazzy and I, that came at an opportunity last year at my son's wedding, our son's wedding. And my son asked, he's like, could you help Chazzy put a dinner together? You know, that was like our side of the family was taking care of the dinner. And I was a little apprehensive because I didn't want to step on toes. And again, there was a history there, but I thought, I would love to do that for you. And so I reached out to Chazzy. And
how did that go, Chazzy? So you're on the receiving end of this. What were you thinking and feeling?
Well, I had done a lot of work to get to this point.
You got your own little journey going on behind the scenes?
Well, just before Chandler graduated high school, I started thinking about my place in his future life. And I have pretty deep relationships, and I don't have a lot of surface relationships. Like, I hold relationships close to me. And so when I do extend myself and let someone be part of my life that way, like, it means a lot to me because I am genuine with it. But when he was at the end of his junior year, senior year, I just started thinking about, like, he's going to leave home and he may choose to never come back. And that is not the kind of relationship I want to have with him. And then he's going to get married. I'm a bit of an overthinker. Then he's going to get married and have kids, and I'm never going to know about what's going on. And I just went forward in my brain about all the what ifs if I didn't make something different. And I thought about Charlene and Steven and my relationship with them. And I really came back to how it impacts Chandler and that he's not going to want me around if I make it difficult, because he doesn't really like difficult situations. And I knew this about him and wanted to change something within myself in order to be included. And maybe that's self-serving, but I really did want him to know that he could love all of his family. He could have all of his family around without it being contentious or without it being uncomfortable even. Mm-hmm. And so I had looked at that as like, okay, you have to change you. You're the only one that can shift this relationship. It doesn't matter what Charlene chooses to do. All you can focus on is what you choose to do. And so I started just thinking about how can I show up the way I want to show up. And this shifted in some other relationships in my life, but Charlene was the one where I had the most regret about how I treated her in our earlier part of our relationship and how I felt just guilt about that, just because I was not kind many times. But that was a point, and I don't know if you remember this, Charlene, but I reached out to her about the time he was graduating high school, and I talked to her about doing graduation announcements. She was okay if I did that for him, and also tried to coordinate so that we could sit together at graduation where it wouldn't have to be this thing where he had to coordinate two different events. And yeah, unbeknownst to me, she wasn't quite in that same space of trusting me yet. And so we didn't come together for that graduation. I mean, but we didn't have full communication. It was funny though. I was just thinking about, I used to ask Chandler when he was a teenager, I'm like, do you think your mom and I could be friends? I asked him that a couple of times and he's like, you know what? I think you could be friends. And I was like, okay. So it like had already started of like, okay, there is possibility there. If my son thinks we could be friends, then maybe in the future that would happen. So that kind of shifted for me right about when he was 17, 18. And I had reached out to Charlene and sent her an email just apologizing for not handling things better when Chandler was younger. And she had responded, but it didn't start a relationship of any sort. But at least I tried to make amends in the best way that I could, in hopes that going forward with the life events that we could work together and make it a place where Chandler felt loved and cared for. So then when he got married, yeah, I remember thinking about that wedding dinner, and I wanted to be involved, but I didn't want to take over anything at all. And finding a way to work together, it took a lot of guts for me to call her. I remember.
Yes, a lot of courage.
So nervous of like, okay, Chazzy, just do it. Just call her. Just dial her number. Call her. Have a conversation. It's okay. And getting to that point was challenging, but it was worth it. And then we did work together and we were able to communicate and use each other's strengths. And it ended up being a wonderful wedding. And I remember even on his wedding date, just feeling so much gratitude that we got into a place where we could be in the same space and feel love and gratitude together and with Chandler and for one another. I mean, at the mother-son dance, he danced with Charlene and then he danced with me, and it just brought up all kinds of emotions of just feeling like that unit was complete and that it was worthwhile. And it was, you know, so it was really healing to go through that opportunity all together.
You know, I'm hearing a series of things. I'm hearing getting your own heart right and wrestling with yourself and whatever journey you're on and going to God and trying to bring your best self into this equation. I'm hearing making small moves, sending an apology, trying to make a connection, asking Chandler if he thinks that maybe there's a way that you guys could be friends, just making those little small moves toward the other party. Both of you guys were doing those things. And then the biggest one is, who knows what God's doing on the other side of the fence? Like, if you don't ever try, if you don't ever make a move toward the other in mercy or in grace, then you can't discover what God's been doing in the other person's heart that you don't know anything about and how that might open the door to something being different, which obviously you guys eventually discovered. Okay, so take me past that first sort of success moment. What happened next? Like, okay, we had that great thing at the wedding. Now what?
Well, I have a small business that I'm building, and it is sharing amazing products to help people have healthier skin, hair, and their wellness. And I work my business pretty actively and hold events online, sometimes in person, but I had invited Charlene to an online event to come find out about these products that I was using that had made such a difference for me. And she came. Again, I was so nervous, but I did invite her to that. And she came and trusted me and listened and decided to become a customer. And then experienced the magic of Monate. And then within 3 weeks, joined me on my team. I asked her, I'm like, hey, what do you think? Do you want to do this together? Wow. And it was a short period of time. And she said, yes, yes, let's do it.
Okay. So every one of those moves, Charlene, in this case, it was you, an act of courage. Well, you got invited, but you went. And then it's just a movement of mercy and moving toward. Did you have second thoughts in the middle of all that?
No, I didn't. And I think that was the nice thing. Like, you know, at this point, there a lot of the emotions had been wiped. Like all the things that were triggers for us, Ron, had been wiped away. So really? It was one of these things. There wasn't anything for us to be confrontational about. And again, when you go through healing, when you go through the true healing and grace of forgiveness, it really is washed away. It is one of the sweetest things I have ever experienced. It's indescribable that when you truly step into forgiveness with somebody and with yourself, it is the most beautiful, most astounding thing. And so when Chazzy invited me, I was honestly, I was excited. I was ecstatic. I'm like, she's moving towards the process of wanting to have a relationship and even friendship. And so I definitely said yes. And I said, I would love to do that. But I was like, maybe I'll just, you know, tread into this a little lightly and just see how things go. But the more we talked, the more we got together and we did a trip together. We just had a lot in common. We had a lot to talk about. And you know what I'm kind of jumping ahead quickly, but we have never talked in a negative light about Scott. And I think a lot of people thought, oh, when you guys get together, I bet you have fun, like, you know, talking about Scott. And I'm like, actually, we don't. And I think if anything, there's a lot of compassion and empathy for him. And I think Chazzy and I have both been through a lot. All of our families have and our children. But I think the beauty of it is that when you really go through true healing and forgiveness, it changes you and it changes your relationships. And so, yeah, the experience, like what we have built, not only a business, but our relationship has been for the positive. It's been a great experience.
That's beautiful. You know, your observation about not talking about Scott, I just want a little commentary for the listener. Yeah, that's easy to do because it creates an artificial bond. You know, two people come together and make fun of a third. All that does is make you feel like you're close when really all you're doing is just, you know, chatter and creating an artificial relationship. So that's no way to create something genuine.
And it's toxic. And that's like when you're trying to rid the toxic, if you bring that up, it just creates more of the negativity. And so we've decided in our relationship, we don't need to talk about it. It's just mutual understanding. I genuinely feel Chazzy knows what I had been through in my relationship. And I knew in the quiet of my heart, what she was also experiencing was very similar to what I had experienced. And so it was just kind of this loving understanding that we don't want to do more damage.
Okay, I'm going to leave you with this challenge. The two of you are standing side by side, and somebody who's listening to us right now is saying, yeah, but wait a minute, guys, you don't understand. My situation, it's hopeless. And I hear you, at some point you started taking risks and moving toward the other with a heart of grace and mercy, but it's just not going to work for me. What would you say to that person?
What I've come to realize through this process and working on other relationships is just stop focusing on what the other person is doing or not doing and just show up as the person you want to be every time, every situation. if you can show up how you really, truly want to be, even if it doesn't feel comfortable in the moment, if you have a clear picture of who that is, then it will come and only good things will follow you with it. And that's where the focus can be to really alleviate some of this heartache. Is it can always say, well, at least I did what I felt was genuine for me in the situation. Hmm.
Charlene?
What I would say to other co-parents in high conflict is that, you know, it's human nature and it's really easy to peg our emotions of unhappiness in our relationships on other people. And I did that for a long time. I lived in that space of blame and feeling victimized. And what I stepped into when I decided it was time to heal myself was that I no longer felt powerless. And I think oftentimes in our relationships, especially in stepfamily dynamics or as a stepmom, we do feel, and I heard Chaz even bring that up, that we feel powerless, but be assured we are not powerless. There's a scripture I love, Romans 12, verse 2, talks about the lines, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. And I love that scripture because it is easy to fall into the trap of poor mindset. And we feed ourselves such negative thoughts sometimes when it comes to the hard things in our life or relationships. And when we can start becoming more positive about ourselves and we can start practicing self-love, and I'm not talking about selfish, I'm talking about divine love, the way God loves us, and we start seeing ourselves for that in that way, we will also start to love other people that way. It will be what we attract. Our relationships start to change when we start to change our mindset and how we approach and treat others.
You've been listening to my conversation with Charlene Roberts and Chazzy Carr. I'm Ron Deal, and this is Family Life Blended. We're going to hear their answer to that question in just a minute. You know, as they told their story, I kept thinking to myself, everyone knows that when a mom and stepmom compete, that their relationship deteriorates. We know that. They can't respect each other, and the gap between them just keeps getting wider. But what moms and stepmoms often miss is how their individual relationship with the child deteriorates also. Listen, when kids see you disrespect one another, it makes them disrespect you on some level. Sometimes stepmoms definitely get the worst of this, but it happens to biological moms too. Plus, the kids, they get caught in your battles. They pay the price for your war, and they carry the scars of your bitterness. It's just not worth it. Or maybe I should say it this way. Whatever it costs you to set aside your bitterness, find forgiveness, and make a better way is worth it for your kids and for you. If you'd like more information about my guests, you'll find it in our show notes, or you can just check it out on the Family Life Blended podcast page at familylife.com/blendedpodcast. And while you're there, make sure you check out everything Family Life has for your marriage and family. The show notes will tell you how. If you don't mind, leave us a quick rating or a review. We really appreciate it. And if you haven't subscribed, be sure to do that so you won't miss a future episode. Now, before we're done, let's hear that final word from Charlene Roberts and Chazzy Carr. They're talking to struggling moms and stepmoms.
Steve and I have been married 17 years, and I would say, you know, not for lack of trying, but we were trying to educate ourselves in ways that traditional ways. And I think when you're in a blended family situation and dynamic, it is not the same. And we really lacked the education and the understanding to what a step family truly was. And when we started finally reading some of your books, Ron, I read The Smart Stepmom was the first book that I read. And I was just baffled to see and understand that I was not alone. I felt so alone as a stepmom in my stepmom journey and in my stepfamily dynamic. It was painful sometimes to just feel that loneliness and isolation. And when I was able to start reading these books, it just opened my world to such a better, I felt so loved and so understood that I was not alone. So I always, always advise to couples and families that are in stepfamily dynamics to educate yourself, read some books, get with a coach, someone that really understands stepfamily dynamics. It will change your world.
Great. Jazzy?
Something I think I would say to people in the middle years of any marriage or family situation is to continue to invest in yourself and make sure that the value that you offer to others also be offered to yourself. Meaning we don't stop investing in our children's development and growth and hobbies and talents and skills, but we often stop doing that for ourselves once we're in the middle of parenting and marriage and all of that. But to take the time, especially I think once you've overcome so many challenges from the first few years of marriage, of then allowing yourself to breathe and reinvest into something you enjoy doing, something that allows you to be a whole person still in this framework of family and in this framework of marriage. But don't let that get lost, because it is such a good way to mentor your children to understand that whether they marry or not marry, that they can, and in those families themselves, they can still be whole people. And that is a benefit to everybody.
In recognition of Mother's Day, next time, we're going to hear from Summer Butler and Gayla Grace.
If I'm staring at everything I don't have, I'm steering in that direction, and that's where my focus is.
That's Summer Butler and Gayla Grace with practical tips for smart stepmoms next time on Family Life Blended. I'm Ron Deal. Thanks for listening. And thanks to our monthly donors who make this podcast possible. If you'd like to join our Family Life Partner Program or just say thank you with a donation, look in the show notes for a link. Believe me, every dollar makes a big difference. Our producer is Marcus Holt, mastering engineer Jarrett Roski, project coordinator Ann and Caro, and theme music provided by Braden Deal. Family Life Blended is part of the Family Life Podcast Network, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.